Again, actually, truth be told, I came to a little better level of reality Tuesday, and Tuesday night, for a number of hours, I couldn't sleep because I'd been sleeping all day, and I'm not a sleeper. I hate naps. They just mess you up, and so the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, it's time to worship. And so I did that Tuesday night. Wednesday night, 9 o'clock, my last vitals came, and she said, I'll skip the next one. You're doing good. And so I just laid there worshiping. And it is where we need to be, because that's where we're going. And so while I laid in that hospital bed for a week, I spent 26 or 7 hours worshiping. And every hour you do it, it gets easier. And that's what these guys do for us on Sunday morning. Thank you, worship team. It is just so fabulous. So on one of those nights, the Lord spoke to me about one song in particular. So I've given it to Ollie this morning. And I would like you to just absorb the lyrics in it. Josh Baldwin, the song is called Evidence. And it is now probably going to be my theme song. Nick's turned into the crack filler. Every church we've ever been at, there's been someone that's had a special place, and he's too mechanical. He sees too many things. This is the young man that used to be able to tell me that the UPS truck had come in our driveway.
It's also the one that didn't want to ask for any sauces at fast food places. And here I am speaking and leading worship.
So I'd like to set the stage and then give Vicki a chance because, you know, quite often the caretaker gets forgotten. And she definitely didn't get forgotten. And she has a story that isn't mine, but it's hers. And so I just want to make sure that we are on track. This is to glorify God, that he did something, setting us up for something. And it's a phrase that Vicki and I learned in 1989. It's called exhilarating terror. And if you stick close enough to God, you recognize how big he is, what he's capable of, and you will realize he's a loving father, he's a gracious God, but he's big, really big. And so, you know, for me, Friday or Sunday night, Sunday church hit my spot to see you guys praying and laying hands on each other, the church actually functioning. That's my heart. I don't, much like Nick, I don't want to be up front. I don't even know how it happened exactly. I love the gentleness of God, too. So we're going to glorify him this morning.
Okay, we're going to share some testimonies. And so the main testimony is the testimony of Jesus, right? That spirit of prophecy. And so I'm in Revelation, the book of Revelation, the 12th chapter. And I think I'll start in verse 10. There's a lot going on in the book of Revelation, but I love this, and I think you'll be able to kind of imagine it, if you will. Did you hear thunder today? I mean, these things remind me of God and how big he is, how powerful he is. So Revelation, the 12th chapter, the 10th verse, this would be John, the apostle, writing this. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren who has accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives to the death. Today we're going to share testimony. And we're aware of some of you that have testimonies in reference to things that happened this past week. And we're going to give you a chance to share as well. Do you want to? Well, I guess.
We didn't script this, so.
You have something, Nick? No?
I can just dive right in.
Oh,
okay.
We'll go into testimony. Half of you were here last Sunday, right? So I spoke on, for those that weren't, I spoke on Paul and Silas and worshiping at midnight. And their freedom, their worship brought freedom to the other prisoners. And then we prayed at the end, like, we left, and all of us on the leadership were like, we touched something today. Like, that was not the typical in three songs, 30-minute message, out to lunch. Like, we were so happy that the Lord really came through. And so you fast forward then to Sunday night. And I get the call from Carrie, and it was about 10:30. And I'm like, whoa. I mean, you don't expect that call ever, to hear that your dad had a heart attack, and he's on the, well, he's not on the way to the hospital. He took himself to the hospital. He drove so fast that mom couldn't even get her jammies off and get clothes on. He was already in the car and ready to go, so she knew something was up. So then Carrie, Sergio, and I were like, we're going to the hospital, and we're going to be in that waiting room to bring the presents right there. And so I'm feeling kind of lost, like, I don't know what to do. And I'm like, oh, I just spoke on the communion table. So I'm in the kitchen getting stuff together, got my backpack, my Bible bag that I always have, and I'm grabbing a half gallon of juice out of the fridge, and Michelle's like, what are you doing? I was like, I'm taking communion with me. So I grabbed the bottle of white grape peach or something and a package of saltines, and then I stole all of Kaya's little cups from the bathroom that she cleans her mouth after she brushes her teeth. I was like, I'm doing it. So we go to the hospital then. And how far should I go in this story?
Well, I want to back up a second.
I'm going too far already.
In the living room on Sunday night, Bruce knew his arm was bothering him, but his arm's been bothering him like a pinched nerve for quite some time, like a pinched nerve. Well, maybe. But anyway, okay, so the residual effects of a dislocated shoulder. But at 10 o'clock, he's moving his arm around. He's moving his arm around, and he's kind of looking. He's standing in the living room. Then he raises his hands to heaven, and he starts praying in tongues, loud. And he put his arms down, and he said, we need to go to the hospital. And so what he sleeps in, he could travel to the hospital in. Did you change your clothes? I don't know. Shorts and a T-shirt. I don't know what you did, but I literally heard the car while I'm trying to get dressed, like, oh, my gosh. Oh, goodness. Okay.
He's leaving without me.
Yep. But anyway, we got in the car, and less than 10 minutes later, we were at the hospital. The ER had two people in it, which has been uncommon in my experience. Bruce parked right in front. He went in. I felt bad. The car was right in front of the door. So he talked to a person for a second, and I thought, well, I'll park the car, and I'll come right back. And so that's what I did. And when I came in, he was sitting in a wheelchair, which was awesome. It was awesome. That's not normal. That's not been my experience at the ER. They kind of sit you over there, and you never know how long you're going to wait. Well, I came in. They rolled Bruce into the triage room, and hooked him up to the blood pressure cuff and oxygen-y thing. And I leaned forward, and it looked to me like his blood pressure was 90 over something. And I'm thinking, okay. And I gave Bruce a thumbs up. And then the triage nurse starts yelling at me. What are you talking about? And I said, well, 90. And she said, it's not 90, it's 190. And I went, okay, well, then it's still good that we're here, right? Because this is who I am. And she said, yes. The next moment, Bruce said, I don't feel, and he had a heart attack right there. So all kinds of people were there to, they zoomed from everywhere. They went into the, rolled him into the room, got him onto a table, and I had already been praying. I backed away from all that circumstance. I'm in the hallway. And you don't need to know all that happened in that hallway, but it was from the hallway. I mean, I could hear CPR. I knew they'd use the paddles. I knew his life had ended. I knew it had started again. Bruce's first words were, you're hurting me. And I thought, yeah, they are. But you are alive. So.
No broken ribs, though.
No bruises. Yeah, so that was good. And they did stuff, and had me sign things, which was, you don't know what you're, I'm like, seriously, what, I'm not reading that, so tell me. did my thing, and they got ready to move Bruce. They communicated with me. There were probably a dozen people that had been working on him. There was a lot of action there, and I love this part. So they told me I could follow. Bruce was going to the cath lab. I knew he had two heart blockages. They'd called the surgeon, and I stood up. They told me they were going too fast. I could follow some nurses to where I was going to wait, And I had already called the kids at that point to come join me. And I stood up to start making the journey, and a very tall doctor walked up to me. And he said, "Is that Pastor Bruce Clark?" And I said, "Yes, it is." And he said, "I'm Dr. Paul, and I'm a believer. And I attend Marysville Assembly of God, and I want you to know, and I know who he is. I don't know him, but he and his wife are physicians at McLaren, awesome, godly people." And he said, "I am praying for Pastor Bruce." And went away. I mean, that was like angelic for me. That was like so great. And so that's what transpired initially.
So now Carrie, Sergio, and I are driving to the hospital. And I'm having, it's got to be the Holy Spirit connecting all these dots, like the first one with the communion, and then the second one, it was 11:40 when we were driving to the hospital. And I was like, how does Satan ever think he's going to win? If I was speaking today about worshiping at midnight, and we're heading to the hospital moments before actual midnight, I'm like, this guy, he's like, "Oh, you guys had a good church service." "You wait till you see what happens." And I'm over here like, really? Like, that's your best plan, is to throw that out there? Like, it's all good. So we're driving and worshiping and praying. And can I tell Margaret?
You should have Margaret tell her.
Margaret, do you want to tell your side of getting the news? What was going on with you? Or do you want me to?
No, we want Margaret to.
Yeah, you should. Yes.
Have to think of the song that we first sang, "The Goodness of God," with every breath that I am able.
Yes.
I will sing of the goodness of
That's
God.
Right. That's right.
And he is so, so good.
Yes.
That about half an hour before I received a call from Carrie, and Donna was staying the night with me that night, and I was feeling pressure in my heart, and I got up and I took a nitroglycerin.
Because Margaret had a heart attack a little while ago.
Almost 2 years ago now.
Yes.
And I'm leaning, I was feeling a little nauseated, because that when I get this pressure, that's what happens. So I'm leaning over the sink like this. And I thought back to what Nick was preaching on Sunday. Not only did I pray for my heart, but everyone that has a heart condition that night for strength, you know, to get not just our physical heart, but our spiritual heart as well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, God is our strength. He's our shield.
Yes.
And we have nothing to fear. Anyway, so Donna got up, and I said, "You know that, I thought that was the first time I'd taken a nitroglycerin all year." Donna reminded me I'd done it once before. and it's a good thing, because shortly after my heart attack, I was in the car, and I felt it, and I'm trying to, this bottle's about that big.
It's so tiny. It's so small.
And I'm trying to open it while I'm driving.
Oh, good.
To get one out, and it's impossible to just pip and get one out. And they went all over the floor.
Oh.
So I didn't have very many left in that bottle. So I've been almost 2 years with hardly having to do that.
Yes.
So I'm so grateful for that, too. But I, listening to Bruce's story this morning, his was much more severe than mine. I only had one.
Yeah.
And it was the right one. You were both, weren't you, Bruce? Both, yes. The right and left coronary arteries. And I had a couple of branches. But, you know, I'm just grateful that sometimes I feel unworthy, but God used me that night.
Yes, yes.
And I'm just so grateful for that. So don't ever think he can't use you. He can use every single one of us, you know, no matter what, where we're at. He can use us all. And we should be careful as well, even when speaking to others, because if they're not saved or they don't really, you know, we could say something and it might be not what we say, but how we say it. And we don't want to discourage or turn people off. Mm-hmm. And I just pray that God will make us all a witness. You're certainly a witness.
Yes.
I tell you, I have not prayed like this since getting that news, since my son was taken from me. Well, taken from me.
He passed.
It's heavy. It really is heavy, but look at the outcome.
Yes, God.
And the really crazy thing that ties that
Margaret.
When Margaret was having the heart things going on, and the Holy Spirit said, hey, you should pray for other people with a heart issue, it was down to the minute that Dad was having his heart attack. That when Carrie was like, hey, Margaret, Dad just had a heart attack, Carrie called Margaret because of that scripture by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony. So Carrie wanted Margaret to declare her testimony of victory over a heart attack over our dad, who now had a heart attack. So she was speaking that life, and she was like, I just was having pressure in my heart and took a nitroglycerin and prayed for other people with heart issues. And it would be crazy to see like the Lord's timeline of that, because I'm sure they were teed right up. That her heart, the Holy Spirit was like, hey, it's time for your heart to do a little something right now so that you remember this Sunday, so that you pray for him because he's going out worse than you were. Not that there are levels or anything. But how crazy is that the Holy Spirit ties together her victory was passing the victory on to Pastor Bruce. Like, that's crazy. Thank you, Margaret.
Oh, I just knew, though, that when the phone rang at that time of night, and I said, Carrie, you know, you knew something was wrong, right?
Yes.
But it isn't. It's all right.
Yes.
It's all good.
1 Corinthians. Yeah, you can clap for God. Clap that Margaret shared. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, for you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And we got to talk about the Holy Spirit. But I don't know how many of you remember Bruce. One of the last things he talked about on Sunday morning was Pastor Joe, who had prayed to raise the dead. Pretty profound. And the other thing that you need to know is this is the Holy Spirit in action. What Margaret experienced is the Holy Spirit. And Bruce kept telling people, his pastor friends who came to visit, this is serious. This is all serious. You have to hear from the Holy Spirit. You don't earn the right to speak by the Holy Spirit. You were bought with a price. It's paid for. It's not you were too bad today. You can't hear from the Holy Spirit. It doesn't work that way. God's paid the price. You are in position in Christ. The Holy Spirit wants to speak to you, wants to guide you, wants to direct you in the simple things like turn left here or don't go that way to you need to go to the hospital.
And in our journey over the week, we found out that if I had opted to be the Marlboro man, and you know, the Marlboro man picks up a hot metal pot of coffee without a glove on. Men are stupid. If I had opted to be the, I can stick this out, I had a 6% chance of survival. If I had stayed, I would probably not be here. So we're in a battle. And it's time to get to war. And the war is to know, and I've shared testimonies over the years of traveling to construction sites, and the Lord said, don't go that way. I'm like, Lord, if I go the other way, I'll be late to work. And we had this little battle, and it turns out there's a 100-car pileup on the Boulder Turnpike, and I would have been right in the middle of it, probably dead. And I'm not trying to bring myself any glory. I'm trying to get you all to understand that the devil is come to kill, rob, and destroy. And he's upped his ante. This last 2 years, he's playing hardball. This isn't a kid's game anymore. And the church has got to respond accordingly, not in fear, in relationship. When I walked into the ER, I normally don't leave Vicky behind, but I was on a mission. And when I walked into the ER, I had no fear that I was going to die. I had no concern because I knew my destination. And so over the week, God kept revealing to me, being born again as a Christian, being born again is that day is the end. So for last Sunday was the end of the last chapter. Now I've been born again, and everything that I had been doing up to this point is done. And I will have to make correction, like Margaret's done, and many of you, you have to make corrections. I damaged my heart, and it's just a fact. So you have to adjust the course. And I'm not going to be lame. I told somebody this morning, I actually feel much better today because the blockage is gone. My chest is sore and there's some issues going on, but I didn't realize how bad I felt last Saturday when I was fixing the cross on the roof. I mean, I've just been doing that for years. That blockage didn't happen overnight. You guys know enough about heart stuff. And it's not that I eat pig slop. I had a great chef that I live with. It's hereditary. It's on both sides of my family. Nick's type 1 diabetic. It's hereditary. I would rather that not be the case. But God, I mean, that's the bottom line. And so I believe that this is a reset. How many of you remember the Hibs bringing me the big wooden watch? What did I say 4 years ago? It's time for change. And God had me put my watch on the other wrist. How much further have we, and I'm talking in realm of like I just was with health, how much further have we moved from where we were 4 years ago to where God wants us to be? And if we're not where he wants us to be, then isn't that disobedience? And wouldn't disobedience Sunday night have cost me? So the Holy Spirit's speaking. And the problem is we're going too fast. We got too much busyness. It's I think it was Yvonne yesterday morning during intercession, said he's not an earthquake. He's not in a storm. It's a still small voice. And if you're so flooded with life and you're going so fast, you can't hear. And I stopped to pray because I needed a now answer. And I prayed in tongues because I needed a connection with the Holy Spirit. I didn't need any flesh. I didn't need any of my mind in that decision to go or not to go. I needed to move.
Sitting in the waiting room, and we really had some good times. I really enjoyed my time sitting with you, Nick. We talked for hours. He was my chauffeur and took me back and forth on the 2 days that he was off, and we talked about a lot of different deep things because it was a deep time and was just good. The scripture, God is so faithful that when you plant this word in your heart, it comes out at the appropriate times. And I've told you many times before, scripture will come to mind that you haven't memorized because the Holy Spirit is within you and he is the word, along with Jesus being the word, and they're all for you and not against you. So they want to encourage you in every circumstance and situation. And I remember telling Nick, and we looked up the scripture sometime in the middle of the night, I think Sunday night, that I'm in Psalm 27. I'm going to do 11 and 13, I think. Teach me your ways, O Lord. This is David again. And lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen up against me, and as such breathe out violence. Verse 13, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of God in the land of the living. And then verse 14 says, wait on the Lord and be of good courage. So be of good courage. I didn't lose heart. I didn't lose my peace. And sometimes you don't know what you don't know, like Bruce has just said, that you know he didn't know exactly what was going on or how he'd been feeling previous, that some of those symptoms and stuff. But we're not going to lose heart. And I've experienced some things. I've lost some people in my life. I've made that hospital trip where the person didn't come back out again, my father being one of those. But in the midst of the situation, you don't want anxiety. Come on. And anxiety is when you think of the worst possible outcome and you'd get all wrapped up in what could happen, where we were living in the moment, holding on to our peace, trusting that we were going to see the goodness of God and he was going to see us through come what may. So I had peace in the midst of the storm. I think some of you were here, many of you, Monday night, some of you, because I was not here Monday night for the prayer time, but I heard the room was packed, and so I did not see that.
Shoot, I missed that.
And I know, you missed that completely. That was back when your arms were heavy.
Yeah, you were sleeping that day. There was no movement that day.
So I don't know the prayer that happened. I know that Carrie and Sergio talked about what had happened to their dad and what was going on and that we're going into a time of prayer. And Marnie, can you come share what you experienced that night? Why don't you come up? And Nick, why don't you help her with that? This is a Monday night experience at the prayer time.
Oh, boy.
That's okay. The Holy Spirit's a tenderizer, so it's okay.
So we came Monday night. Our family was sitting where Yvonne was sitting. Where Yvonne's sitting, I'm already going to cry. So I was bawling. I was praying for Pastor Bruce, and I was praying for the whole family, and I was bawling. I'm praying for healing. I'm praying for healing for his heart and his lungs and for peace and for comfort. And, you know, I'm just praying for everything, and I'm bawling my eyes out, bawling, bawling, bawling. Finally, I just got a huge smile on my face, and my whole body was, like, filled with, like, shivers. Goosebumps everywhere. I told Carrie when it happened. Goosebumps everywhere, and I knew that it was done. I knew that he was healed, and so I shifted my prayer from healing to thank you for the victory because I know that he is healed.
Yes.
And so I could hear out of my ear that somebody was over here, but I didn't know who it was because I was just praying and praying and praying. And all of a sudden, I tuned into that voice, and it was Carrie thanking him for the victory also.
Yep.
So it was pretty amazing for me because I've never had that feeling before, and I told Felix about it too, and you know, I've never had that feeling before where I actually recognized what happened, and I recognized it, and my whole body was just goosebumps, and I stopped crying, and I was just a huge smile because I know that he was healed, and I knew that he was going to be fine.
I wonder, too, if that's in a
that's
Monday
so
night. So Monday he was sedated the whole day on a ventilator. There was no signs of movements or anything. And then Monday night, the night nurse that came in came to check him over and listen to his heart and all that stuff. And Mom and I are sitting there on the bench, and she says, hey, Bruce, I'm here doing your vitals. And they say that they can hear you, but I wasn't really believing it because he hadn't moved. I mean, he was alive. I knew that. And she says, I'm doing your vitals. I need you to squeeze my finger over here. And she stuck her finger right in front of his hand, and he gave her a little squeeze. And I was like, oh, man. Like, it was so encouraging after going 24 hours without much signs. So I wonder if that was in the time that you felt the, oh, Yeah, like that was my first sign of, oh yeah, we're coming out of this. Like you were saying he's sedated, but he's not. I was trying to tell her that too, because it's encouraging to get to see the progression.
Yeah. No.
I love that scripture you just read, but you didn't finish it.
Oh, okay, finish.
Psalm 27:14 says, wait on the Lord, oh, yeah, and give good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart.
Okay, come on. Yeah.
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 We even had supernatural gifting for visiting times. Like, one of the, can I tell a Kevin story or do you want to? Well, you weren't even there. Monday while he was sleeping, visiting times is 11 to 8 p.m. And they are pretty strict on it, especially with this stupid thing going on right now. And one of the pastors in town, big black guy, which I only give that to give you the reference of the charismaticness that they carry. He said, I need to go into that room and pray for that man. I know it's not visiting times, but I have to. And they were like, yeah, oh, you're good. Like, they let him go in. He pulled his pastor card, literally, and got in there. And while he was in the room, he told Bruce later, he said, I was in there with my anointing oil, and I was going to anoint you. And the Holy Spirit said, dump it on him. So he dumped the bottle. Who knows how big that bottle was. But he dumped it on him and prayed for him before any of us could, well, we, any of us gained access. So he was already getting favor and anointing. And, I mean, you all were praying already at that point too. But it's so cool to see a pastor pull his pastor card and just, like, kick that door and, like, get out of the way. I got a prayer to pray. Yeah, Marnie.
He did. Yeah, he did. And Pastor Kevin, he
came back too.
Yeah, he did come back again because he told us a story. And I had noticed that Bruce's forehead was kind of shiny, but it's his. And I don't know, I didn't smell. That would have been funny, too, if it had been the real aromatic, fragrant. Was it?
I didn't smell any of that.
I didn't smell it either. But I also liked Pastor Kevin anointed the soles of his feet. So every place he set his feet, and I can't think of the scripture right now, but that God was going to be everywhere that he went. And I thought, well, that's pretty good. That's a holy level of confidence. And
well, the thing that I love about Kevin is that he's so darn large and he's so darn gentle. All this, and for someone to walk up to him, they would just go, oh, sure. Because he's the size of a door. So it's like, sir, you can help yourself. We're not going to stop you. Just really fun. But one of the things that's always on my heart is to find out, even in the state I was in, I was on a mission. And so I'm talking, and it was probably late Tuesday where I could focus a little bit. I realized that there was a heaviness on the third floor. And I couldn't figure out what it was. And I'm still groggy, and I mean, I'm not in good shape. And so I'm just asking the Lord, what in the world's going on? Well, I struck up a conversation early Monday morning with one of the nurses, or no, Wednesday morning with one of the nurses, and she wasn't too open to any God or anything. She was just real matter-of-fact. I'm like, well, it's not her. So I had this conversation then on Thursday, because I was there long enough that the girls rotated through and came back. And so now I've figured out their names and I can actually see them. And I said to her, there's a heaviness in this hallway, on this floor. What's going on? And she just started bawling. And she said, I'm quitting. People are so mean and so pushy and so ungrateful. This last 2 years has been hell. She said to be a nurse is nothing that I thought or hoped it would be. And I think she gave me a little bit of her story. And she hadn't been, her church closed, so she hadn't been to church. She works every other weekend. I mean, just the typical, that's the way the devil will keep you away. And so I've had enough encounters like that that I know she said things that she was uncomfortable with telling me, and so then they just never come back. Have you ever had that? You witness to somebody, they share a little bit of their trouble, and then it's like, they're like, I don't want to see you. And but Friday, she was on shift again, and she came back, and I said, thank you so much for letting me in to hear a little bit of your story. I'd like to pray for you. And they're short two on the floor. So she's just flying, taking vitals and doing all this stuff on the floor. And she's already toast. And so I just prayed for her for a while. And she didn't come back. And I thought, well, she's off shift. Whatever her shift was, she's gone. She ended up checking Vicki and I out. She came back in the room. She had all of this pills, this. And I've got this goofy $30,000 defibrillator on me, and she had to set us up with that and go through getting us checked out. And I said, I want to pray for you. And she agreed to it. And I prayed for her. She cried. She said, you're going to make me cry. I said, I'm not going to make you anything. It's just what's in there is coming out. And so, you know, that's part of the mission. And it was on my mind as early as Tuesday. It's like, God, why am I here? There's something more to this than my heart. What about somebody else's? What about, so someday she may show up here. Who knows?
That was the other fun side, is that, like he said, not many of the nurses received gratefulness. Well, that's who we are. Like, as the Clarks, like, we try to be very gracious. So when nurses would come, and even the nurse that right after he had the stents put in, she came out and said, we finished it, a great procedure, and this is, again, 2 a.m. or something. Mm-hmm. And we're like, well, thank you. And she was like, oh, I mean, yeah, it's my job. Like, they were so floored that we were thanking them for doing the task that they signed up for. I think that's a teachable moment, too, that we as Christians in our everyday life are not entitled to snap on people for things that don't go right, if they make your food wrong, if they're going too slow, whatever that is a huge testimony in this day to just maintain peace. And if you don't have that, ask the Holy Spirit to help you, because I know that there are times that it is very annoying for something to take a long time or to be inconvenienced or you name it. It's hard sometimes, but the Holy Spirit is the teacher of all things. He can teach you how to love through that. And then that, I don't know who we were talking to this morning, That then is a, what's different about you? Because most people would be screaming at me by this point. And that's an easy way, like this. It's an easy way to open the door to get to tell them, oh, well, you know, I appreciate what you do, and Jesus loves me, so I'm going to try and love you. Like, simple.
Because God uses everything, and your testimony is a powerful thing, to be mindful of what's going on around you, even if you haven't had a heart attack. But Bruce was discerning as he's telling you, like, can I feel the presence of God in this nurse, this aide, this person, this whatever? What's going on here? What's that thing that's different about you? Are you open to the gospel? Or why do you have hope in this circumstance and situation? And then I guess I'd like to say, Katie, we thought of you. As we were praying for things, as Bruce is getting better and better, we were thinking about last Sunday morning again, and we prayed for a lot of people, we prayed for a lot of things, we prayed for you guys and newness of life in their new home, but we prayed for Dad.
Fast Eddie.
And so there's still prayer going forth for the people among us, people we love and care for, neighbors, whatever, who are unsaved. And we want them to experience the goodness of God in the land of the living. You know, we don't want them to stand before Jesus. One of the doctors that we're actually friends with is a Jewish man. And there'd been some discussion whether Bruce had an experience a near-death, a death experience, and seeing Jesus, and he doesn't remember anything like that. But I had asked this doctor that I had wondered if Bruce had stood face-to-face with Jesus. Well, I could feel that his reaction to that statement was interesting because he's not a believer. He's a pre-believer at best, so help him, Lord. Do you have something?
I'm just going to tell some of the funny things. Because funny things are fun. And Tuesday, Monday he slept all day. Tuesday morning they took the ventilator out and took him off the, is it sedation?
Yeah, yeah.
The sedative, the sleepy stuff. And when we showed up Monday morning, or Tuesday morning, geez, it's all a blur. Tuesday morning, he's awake-ish. Can't really, he's like doing that kind of eye thing that like when you first wake up and there's like eye boogers and like it's all just, you know, like what? And he was so goofy the whole day. Like, have any of you been in a hospital bed with IVs and stuff? It's not enjoyable. It's not comfortable. You don't sleep well. You're constantly moving. So he's goes from Monday not moving at all to Tuesday. About every 10 or 15 minutes, he wants to move, but he's so weak from all of the stuff that he would be sitting there, and he'd go to pick his arms up to scratch his eyes. As he wanted to do this. He'd be laying there, and he'd go, ugh, they're so heavy. I'm like, yeah, Dad, what do you want? He's like, I want to scratch my eye. And so, like, I didn't help him with that. He just kept trying, and by the end of the day, he got his finger in there, and he did just like all of you, I'm sure, have at one time in your life. Oh, that's good. And so we would adjust him, too. Like, when he'd want to roll over, we'd adjust him, and he'd get all snuggled in, holding his things, and he'd go, yeah. And he'd be out that fast, just asleep. He's, like, rolling and adjusting. 10 minutes later, he'd wake up. Oh, best nap ever. And then he'd reposition, and we'd go through the whole thing again, and he'd like, oh, no, something's pulling. I'm like, well, yeah, something's pulling. There's like 15 things coming off the side of the bed. Mom and I are like frantically trying to get them out
macrame.
From under her and readjusting him. And he woke up from the best nap was about 25 minutes. He woke up from it. He asked me when I got there what day it was. I said Tuesday. And he woke up from that 25-minute nap, and he says, that was a good nap. What day is it? I said, it's still Tuesday. And his eyes shoot open, and he goes, "You're still here?" Like, it was like all of those things you see of the wisdom teeth and like the after effects of that stuff. Like, he was so goofy and talking about how heavy his arms were and how bad the bed was. And
Gladiator.
Oh, yeah. He said, "I don't want to be in the NFL anymore." And I said, "What do you mean?" And he's laying there. He goes, all of his right arm was the one that was bombarded with everything. He's like, "All of this." It's just like just a back of sleep. And then later in the day, he said that he felt like a gladiator, and he referenced that arm again. So he was drowsy and kind of sleepy, but still very goofy. And so, again, that was the same as Sunday night, very traumatic. Monday, he's a vegetable-ish. Monday night, he gives the finger squeeze. Oh, okay, here we come around. Tuesday morning, he's opening his eyes. And by the time we left Tuesday night, he's like, "Oh, I can see you." And so, like, it's enjoyable to, we got to see all these phases. And when he first got admitted, he didn't look good Monday morning.
That's good, when we prayed for him that night.
He got out of the cath lab, and as soon as we got to see him in the ICU, they let us in, and he didn't look healthy at all. And we were in there about 15 minutes, Carrie, Sergio, me and Mom.
Just the two of us were in there first.
Oh, yeah, they wouldn't let all four of us.
So we laid hands on him. We were praying for him. His ears were dark that I've never seen before.
My best way to describe it is he looked like death. Like, that's the only way I could do it. The colors were not right. And the amount of time, the 10-ish minutes that we were in there, his color fully came back, and he was tan again. And I was like,
"This is good.
Wow." Like, that's really cool to see that. Like, maybe it is the settling down out of the catheter stent things, but we brought presence into his room that has resurrection life with it.
That's right.
That was coming into his body. And so it was cool to see each day. Tuesday, he got better. Tuesday night, he got better. Wednesday, now by the time I got to see him, I worked Wednesday. So by the time I got to see him, he was holding a cup and taking his own drinks. Whereas Tuesday, he couldn't even find the cup or, like, squeeze anything. It was just kind of like he was rubbing his eyes. Like, there was nothing working. And then I walk in Thursday, and he's able to move. And very slowly, he was trying to get his walker to go to the bathroom, and it was exhausting too. And then Friday, he's home. Like, the doctors, the testimony through it, all the doctors are like, "What in the world?" The physical therapist came Thursday?
Friday,
the physical therapist came and said, "You have four stairs into your house. I need you to do four stairs." So they walked down the hallway, down the other hallway.
He put on his shoes. That was the first thing.
That is true. He was laying in his bed waiting for the physical therapist. He had warm-up pants on and his running shoes already. So the physical therapist walks in the door, and he goes, "Whew!" And he's like, "Oh, no, I am out of my..." Like, he was not prepared for Dad to already be ready to, like, go out. He's used to patients being, like, decommissioned, and so they walked down the hall, and he did the whole flight of stairs, and the physical therapist is like, "I guess I'm done with you." Like, he had nothing to really help him with because he was so far ahead of where they expected him to be, because he had an army praying for him. The amount of people that were praying, it wasn't just you guys. We sent it to other countries, other sides of the U.S. Like, there were probably dots all over. Like, it'd be cool to see, like, the God map of that, of, like, the dots that were all over everywhere of the prayers that were going up. And it's nuts to see, just like we said to you, Katie, you don't have family to pray for your family, but we are the family. And that's what we got to extend. And Dad even said at one point, he was like, "I never knew I impacted that many people." And it's like, you don't understand. And that, obviously, he's a pastor, so he's got more outreach than we do. But we are a family in here. And like I said last week, we are called to carry each other's weights. When, like Katie said, it's a taxing thing to be the only believer in the family, and the only two praying for victory for the rest of the family. So we got to come beside them, and I hope that the rest of you wrote it on your fridge or your prayer list or something to keep praying for Ed, that he would be saved, that it would be the cornerstone that rippled through the whole family. So as we're coming out of this, there's lots more to this story, which I'm sure you guys will hear over time.
Tell them about the Trump bed, President Trump's bed.
He said, she wants me to tell another funny story before we go. Hospital beds, you never stay in the right spot. You always slide down. Just endlessly sliding. You're always shuffling and slide, shuffle and slide. And he's
6 foot long.
Yeah, they're tiny. And so he's 6'1". So he's at one point slid down far enough, his legs are curled. And this is the sedated day. And he says, ugh, they just don't make these beds big enough. I'm sure Trump has one big enough for him, though. Like, because he was saying how big Trump was. And I'm like, how is that like the next thought into that? You're thinking about how tall Trump is and that his bed probably fits him, or he really doesn't fit in the hospital bed. Like, because he's 6'1", and Trump is 6'7", or something. Like, I didn't know he's a giant, but he was like, he doesn't fit in the bed. And I was like, "That, yep, that's dad
that's
for
dad.
You. Yep, so it was just funny.
Yeah, and stupid dad jokes are genetic. I got them from my dad, and guess who has them?
I'm a dad now, so it works.
So, your ventilator, you know, it's kind of like old smoking days. I wanted to make sure that if any of you have a piece of the week you want to share, that you get an opportunity to do that. This isn't the Bruce show. It just happens to have been the most intense one this week. And, you know, maybe we're going to be celebrating with Katie's family. Anybody else that had a, oh my gosh, or a divine connection, God showed them something or other?
Carrie spoke all week about the weather, and she said every day at work, you know, she showed up Wednesday, I think she came back to work, and she was telling everybody in the store, it's been foggy all week, and she, every morning, she would say, my dad always used to tell me I'd be leaving for school, and he'd say, Carrie Lynn, walk in the fog, and she was explaining that it meant walking in the presence and the favor of God, and sure enough, every single day that Pastor Bruce is in the hospital, fog, every morning, I'm driving to work like Carrie Lynn, like these Clarks and their fog. And every morning she'd come to work, she'd say, walk in the fog, Carrie Lynn, my dad always used to tell me. And sure enough, every day you were in that hospital bed, it was foggy. And she just giggling on her way to work, Carrie Lynn, walk in the fog.
Thanks, Katie. I didn't realize that. It was a code word. Back so the kids wouldn't get picked on in school, because we've been kind of like this forever. Once it gets you, you can't get out of it. And so staying in the favor of God is, it's important. And it's a blessed place. And we all get to be there. We're going into this thing together. And get ready. I told you, it's time to change. I would like to not get blindsided. Well, okay, so if the book of is real deal, I mean, I read the book of Acts and it jacks up my blood pressure. If that's the real deal and God is going to move like he's never moved before.
Or like he used to. Yeah, like he moved in the book of Acts.
Yeah, he saved 3,000 on one message, and it's happening. There are tent revivals running around. They were just in Western New York, and they had thousands of people get saved. People were coming to the altar before the message. And so that means we've got to get ready. We got to get ready with hospitality. We got to get ready with, I'll pray for you, and I am not going to be able to pray for everybody that needs prayer. That's not how it's supposed to be. So we're really pushing into and praying, looking, anticipating. This is going to be fun. I mean, when God's on the move, it's just, there's no other place to be. It's so much fun. So
just a quick, real quick, my mom, I was telling somebody, my mom had a 5-way bypass. They did an incision from her chest all the way to under her foot. She was not a believer. It didn't go, she lived for 10 years, but it was not as smooth as your recovery has been. And I was telling Felix yesterday, I said, think about this. Pastor Bruce literally was not alive last Sunday, and this morning he was in church. This was yesterday. I said he literally was not alive less than a week ago, and he was in church this morning. So, praise God.
So go God.
Yeah, amen.
So then, Yvonne's got something?
Just to add to that, I love medical technology. I love the care that you received and how everything all lined up. But the bottom line is that it was God. Mm-hmm. No medicine, no procedures, no anything is going to be successful without him. Mm-hmm. And that's what we are seeing. That's what we are experiencing. And again, that you did listen. It just encouraged me to be more faithful to listening to that small voice. Yesterday when I did tell you about not in the fire, not in the earthquake,
yeah,
not in the strong wind, but the small voice, that was for me. So
yeah,
I can listen and be faithful and obedient,
yeah,
to that small voice.
Yeah. And I want to thank the intercessors on Saturday morning, because that is setting an atmosphere of everybody being able to hear. And if you haven't experienced God's presence at that level, you really should. I mean, it's just, it's so awesome.
I think I'm going to close us with a scripture and a prayer. In Acts, the 4th chapter, and I've been praying this one for a while, maybe some of you have as well. I'm down at verse 29. It says, "Now, Lord, look on their threats. Grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus." And I don't know that any of you would disagree. Wouldn't you like this to be a house filled with signs and wonders and miracles? And I think that's what God is about. And there's room for more in this house, and there are a lot of hopeless people right now, people still fearful, though many of you have walked out of fear of probably of the Chinese virus, but there are many others who are still so afraid, don't have hope, don't know who Jesus is, and you know the greatest fear of all is the fear of death. And though I don't want to die, and I'm grateful that Bruce didn't check out permanently on Sunday night, there was no fear in death because of what Christ has done for us and the price that he paid. And there are people who don't know that at all. A couple generations out of even hearing about this great God that we serve and the name of Jesus, that just speaking it counts as a prayer. So do you... anything else, or you want to close in prayer? Second close.
So this all happened, Pastor, Sunday, and then I think it was maybe Monday or Tuesday. I had a guy that worked for me. His name was James. His boy, he come into the shop, and I think he just wanted to talk. He said his boy was up in Kalkaska. He was murdered.
Aww.
And so he came to me.
Mm.
And it was like, geez, James. He didn't know how to grieve.
Oh.
Yeah. He's been in prison before. And he says to me, he says, "I want to go up to that." It was Kalkaska. "I want to go up there and I want to get thrown in jail." He said the whole community of police went out looking for the murderer. And I said, he wanted to go up there and just lay a beating on this kid in jail. And I says, well, I said, you know, I don't think that would really be. He says, I'll get 20 if I murder him. So, and I says, well, you can't do that. And he was on his bike, and this he's not a kid anymore. He's getting me 35 to 40. And he's on his bike. He's riding his bike every day of the year, rain, sleet, snow, whatever. He works down for Bart's, and everybody knows where Bart's is. And I said to him, I said, as he was leaving, I said, I love you. And he says, I love you back. Mm. So I think that's what the people want to hear.
Yeah.
They want to be cared for.
Yes. Well, Father, I just thank you for your goodness. And I ask, Lord, as we ponder your goodness and as we spend time in your word, Lord, would you just stir all of us to hear, to see, to speak of your goodness here in the land of the living. I ask that for those who don't know you yet, that they would come to find you, that you're waiting for them. You love them. Even before we've changed our ways, you loved us, God, and drew us to yourself. So we say, do it again, God. Touch the people that we are specifically praying for, like Eddie and other family members. Touch the ones that we haven't even thought of praying for yet, God. Touch our neighborhoods and the places that we live, and draw all men to yourself. We lift you up, Jesus. It's about you. So draw people to yourself. In your name, amen.
Yeah, none of us know where to go. So I guess that's it. If you want prayer, need prayer, you can come to us.
Yeah.
We'll pray.
Pray for each other.
Yeah, you can pray for each other too.
Yes.
Amen.
Be real.